Last week we started on the first part of our series of Esther, and I love the book of Esther. It's so exciting and so encouraging. And so we're going to guess where we're going to go. We're going to go to Esther chapter 2. And so just looking back, last week we looked about Esther, about the favor of God upon her. We looked about that she was just a normal person, but she trusted in an extraordinary God. We talked about how God is working behind the scenes, how God was working behind the scenes in this story, and how God is working behind the scenes in your life. Do you realize it? Do you recognize it? Yes. Do you know that favor is upon you? Yes, it is. As a child of God, the favor of God is upon you, which means that you can see and expect extraordinary things to happen. And you can have a confidence and a passion, to live with a passion that other people don't have. And I want to talk about living with a passion shortly in a bit. She lived in a country where it was normal to worship idols, foreign gods. There was lots of promiscuity going on. But you know, she chose to be true to herself and to her own convictions and to her own religion, rather than just going on with everything that was going on around her. In one sense, what would it have mattered? She was living hundreds and hundreds of miles away from where her people were. So what would it have mattered if she had adopted the gods of Xerxes? What would it have mattered if she just went along with the status quo? What would it have mattered if she just used the people and the situation around her to get all that she wanted, just to make her life easy? But she didn't. She didn't do it. She knew that she was called to something greater. And you know, we're called to something greater as children of God. We don't have to settle for the status quo. We don't have to just try to slot in with society and just go, you know, with what everything else, what the world dictates to us. And we're called to something better. We're called to be people that, and God always used people that were prepared to stand up against what was going on in society and stand up and say, no, actually, this is what the one true living God says. And you know, that's what we've been called. In one sense, things haven't changed a lot. You know, we see society changing and various things happening around us, but essentially it's God's people, and you're God's people. It's God's people standing up in a society that maybe doesn't even recognize it needs God, but saying, yes, there is a one true living God who has hope for you, who has life for you, who has salvation for you, who has something different for you. And you know, that's what God's called us as the church to do, to be those people that are God's mouthpiece in the society and the situations that they find themselves in. So many times God used to turn history, people that were prepared to stand up under pressure and under society and talk about their dedication to God. And God has chosen you in this generation, in this town, to be those people that stand up and say, yeah, I'm going to follow my God. I'm not ashamed to be called a Christian. I'm not ashamed to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Almighty God. I'm not settling for just a comfortable, convenient life, but I know that I've been called to something even greater than what I'm experiencing now. And it's an amazing calling from God that God's called each and every one of you to. I hope you realize it. It's so exciting. It's so wonderful. It really is an incredible privilege that you and I have been called to serve God and what we've been called to do. As I said, Esther, she was a normal lady. You might think yourself normal. I think of myself as normal. Praise God. You're the very people that God wants to use. Normal people trusting in a supernatural, powerful God, that when you and I, when we dare to believe and we say that we're going to put our trust in God, and I'm not going to compromise, and I'm not going to give up, and I'm not, as I said, I'm not just going to slot in and just live a life where my life doesn't stand out from any different to anybody else's. When those normal people just say, now I realize that I'm a child of God. I may not have been born to rich, influential parents, but I have a heavenly Father in heaven. I'm his child. And he's got all of the wealth, and he's got all of the riches, and he's got all of the prominence, and he's got all of the authority. And there's no greater name than my Father. So I might not have it on an earthly perspective, but spiritually, it's just as real. And it's just as tangible. And that's what you and I have been called to do. And it is so exciting that every day we can go out and live with that understanding. God's still at work doing the same things in our lives, working behind the scenes, whether we acknowledge it or not. God is working behind the scenes. You remember we were talking about, you know, that God makes intercession for us. Jesus makes intercession for us. He's praying for us every moment of every day. So whether you feel like it, whether you think it's happening or not, the reality is that God is working for you on your behalf, not against you, but for you. He's praying for you. He's interceding to the Father. There's activity going on spiritually on your behalf. You're blessed. I mean, you're not a hopeless cause. God hasn't forgotten you. There is something that is, God's favor is towards you. And it is awesome and it is wonderful. And it's something really for us to get excited about and celebrate. What's God's will for us? God's will is to bring all people into relationship with him, for people to be saved. And, you know, to achieve that, God uses his New Testament church to do that. Because, as I said last week, God, in a moment, he could just send his angels and the whole world could be saved. But God has put his church, the Bible says, to reveal his manifold wisdom and his glory to the world. And so that's you and me. That's what we've been put on the earth to do. Do you recognize it? Are you ready? Are you getting ready to be activated? Are you activated? Are you doing it? Because that is what God's called us to do. It's not just to come to church on a Sunday and just maintain having services. It's living with an expectation that, yes, God wants to use me. That's the reason why I'm here. The story of Esther. God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. But as I said, God always desires to be glorified through a people that are different and a people that are separated from the world. And there's a word called passion. Can you say it? I can't hear you. Passion. There's a word called passion. Yes. The chief difference that God wants from us, and the reason that we can live with such an excitement for God, is that we have passion for him and passion for his kingdom and passion for the things of God and passion to see people get saved. You know, there are many religions and philosophies and many societies where people, you know, they will do good, and I mean, there are many wonderful people in Horsham, aren't there, that aren't Christians? Many wonderful people in Horsham that are far nicer than I am. Many people that have even cleaned up their lives because of a philosophy that they think is good. So actually being a nice person and being cleaned up, and yeah, there's partly there, but there's being a Christian, is that we can live differently because we are living because our Savior died for us. We can live with a passion because he had a passion for us. And we can live differently because the God that we served, the one true living God, gave of his all, gave us everything, poured out love indescribable upon us. And he says, now don't just live good lives, don't just clean yourselves up, but now model what I did. Live as I lived. Live differently. And we'll look at a few scriptures about that. But you know, we're the only people that have been called on the face of the earth to, that we can live with a great passion for God and for heavenly and eternal things. Matthew 6, verse 33, you know this, it says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." You know, can you just listen to this? You may feel that you're not able to preach. You may feel that you're not able to stand up and teach in the Sunday school. You may feel that you can't do this or that. But you know, let me tell you, there's one thing that each and every one of us can do. We can live with a passion for God. You know, excited about the God that we serve. Each and every one of us can do that. You know, each of us have been called to different things, haven't we? You know, there may be some very quiet and studious people like me. There may be the others that are called to more upfront ministry in the church. There may be others that have a servant heart that just want to... Every single person is different. And we don't want to try to make people all the same. I don't want to be like you, and I bet you do not want to be like me. But the one thing that we can do is each and every one of us can live with a passion and a fire for the kingdom and for the things of God. And live in a way that people look at us and they say, oh, there's something different about him. And it doesn't matter how long you've been saved or how short you've been saved. Every single one of us can do it. And I want to encourage you to live with a passion. Why do I say that? It's because we live in a world that's messed up. And we live in a world that desperately, 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 desperately needs Jesus. And however intelligent and however knowledgeable the world is, it still needs the gospel. It still needs Jesus. And it's a funny thing to say, but Jesus needs us to be living lives that reflect who he is. So that it's natural for us, that we're so full of God, so passionate, you know, so living with such a passion for God, it's just natural for us to say when somebody is hurting or in a problem, can I just pray for you? I mean, we might think, I mean, I'm sure some of you are doing that, but I want to encourage you, and that's a big thing, you know, for some of us to step out. It's a big thing, actually, for some people to say, yeah, that's out of my comfort zone. But I want to encourage you, you know, to do those things. Can I pray for you? I mean, if someone says no, will they say no? I think 9 times out of 10, people will say, please. Can I pray for you? And you know, when you lay your hand upon them and it doesn't have to be a great big long prayer and you don't have to speak in tongues or whatever, you know, everybody in the restaurant or wherever it is that you're in the workplace, just a quiet, faith-filled prayer can, you know, change a situation. And so I want to encourage you. You know, it's just living differently. You know, I'm passionate for God. So this is what we could say. You know, I'm passionate for God. I believe that God can deal with this issue that you're going through. Let me just pray for you. Lay your hands on, pray for them. Release the power and the blessing of God. Live passionately. Live passionately. Ask. Praise the Lord. Live passionately. Live passionately for God. Okay, so chapter 2. 3 years have passed, and Xerxes has divorced Vashti, and she's not the queen anymore. And chapter 2 starts telling us that he regretted or started to think about his former wife and was missing her, because the royal advisors had come up with this new plan to get a new wife for him. But amazingly, it was all in the plan and purpose of God. And so the advisors suggest to the king that all the young virgins in the land, in all of his 127 provinces, do you remember it was like 3 million square acres, and it was from India to Ethiopia that this guy ruled? Massive, huge area. And so they brought all of these young virgins to him, and so that he could inspect them and choose from among them a wife. You know, I'm sure all the ladies were enjoying the fact that they had, what does it say, a year of beauty treatments. I mean, I think the guy, unless there's guys in here, I think most guys would find it difficult to understand why the ladies like lotions and potions and creams and lotions and all the stuff that ladies do. But most ladies love all of that, and I'm confused by that. But anyway, I understand that they love it. A year, though, can you imagine a year of lotions and potions and massages? And does it sound good? Or, I don't know if that's just sounds lovely. There you go. So they spent a whole year being pampered and beautified before they would spend time with the king. And after spending time with the king, they would then be sent back to the royal harem and maybe never ever called again to see him. But this is when we see Esther. She was among the young virgins to be brought in and pampered for the king. And we learn that she was that she really impressed those who worked with her, and more importantly, impressed the king, that he decided that he wanted to marry her and make her queen. And then it says that he gave her a holiday in honor of her for that day. So there's two characters in this chapter that I want us to look at quickly, and we're going to have to kind of like zip through this. But it's Mordecai and Esther. And both of them have qualities that made them people that could be used by God. And I just want to very quickly just touch on those. One is love, one is courage, and one is wisdom. So there were three qualities that they displayed, and there were three qualities that really enabled them to be used by God. And yeah, I'm praying that those qualities as well would be evident in us, would be evident in me, would be evident in you, so that we can be used effectively by God, so that we can be even more blessed and more used by God than what we're seeing at the moment and that we've ever dreamed of. So first of all, love. Mordecai was a man who had great love, and it says that in verse 5 and 7, it says that he adopted Esther as his own daughter. She was his cousin, but he adopted her as his own daughter after her parents died. And, you know, first of all, love is not an option for a child of God. Do you know that? I mean, it's really easy, isn't it, to love people that are lovable. But, you know, the Bible says that we're to love those people that we don't even like, or to even love those people that are our enemies. I mean, why does he make life difficult for us? But you see, we're talking about living with a passion, living differently. You know, there are lots of groups and lots of things that we can be involved with, but the philosophy of what we have as being Christians is so different, isn't it? That we live for the cause of the kingdom, for what God says and what his word says. That's what governs us. That's what governs us. That's our passion. That's our heart. That's what drives us. So what God says that we're to do as Christians, we want to do it. Yes! So love is a very important thing. The Bible says that we're to love others, and the Bible also says that, as I say, in Matthew 5 verse 44 and 45, it says there, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous." You know, Galatians 5 talks about fruits of the Spirit. And, you know, you can only have that when you're in right relationship with God. You have to be in fellowship with Jesus to be fruitful. Who wants to be fruitful? Yeah? A few people. Yeah. Now, I'm sure we all want to be fruitful for God. And but to be fruitful, we need to be in right relationship with Jesus. Think of like a plant. This last week we were on down in Devon with Ali's mum, and we were Samuel was delivering lambs, and we were out there looking at all of the cutting down trees. And but think of a tree. You know, it's you've got the trunk, and then you've got the branches, and then you've got the fruit. And Jesus is the trunk, and there's branches, isn't there? Jesus is the trunk, you're the branch, but the love is the fruit that is produced when you stay hooked in to Jesus. So if you just cut off the branch, and if it's not connected to the trunk, the thing is going to die, isn't it? I mean, that's not a complicated thing to follow. That's it, isn't it? So if you want to be fruitful, you need to be connected in to the trunk. Stay grafted, connected in. The moment you separate your life from him, you quit producing fruit. You know, love is something that we should display to one another. Why don't you just turn round to somebody, smile at them? I mean, we should be smiling, and I mean, we should be so full of love that there are no sour-faced people. Smile. You know, pray for one another, encourage one, and let the love flow. Be generous in your love one to another. If you're going to be used by God to the fullest, you must allow him to produce love in your life. Let God's love transform you so that you can love others. God's way is to express love for others. There's nothing cheap about it. Mordecai didn't say to Esther, "Oh, I love you," but then leave it like that. He demonstrated his love by helping her, by caring for her, by nurturing for her, by actually putting his life on the line for her. And not only will God be able to use you, you'll be able to experience greater blessings in your relationships than you've ever dreamed of when you display love to each other. You know, it's not easy, as I said, to love your family and to love those people around you. And actually, there's something wrong if we can't do that. But it doesn't come naturally, does it, to love your enemies? But that's the very thing that God wants us to do. He's challenging us all the time. What are you going to do? Are you going to obey your feelings, or are you going to obey my word? Okay, wisdom. Esther's taken away to the king's palace, and Mordecai instructs her not to reveal her identity as a Jew. He worked there in the palace, and it says that he walked up and down, and he checked on her. And Matthew 10, verse 16, says that to be wise as I'm sending you out like wolves among sheep amongst wolves, therefore be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. And you see, Mordecai told her to be wise, and he wasn't ashamed of his nationality or his heritage, nor was Esther as well. But he recognized that there was going to be a time that God would open for her to reveal it for the king. Had she revealed it at an earlier point, maybe things wouldn't have worked out as they were. And, you know, I wonder what she thought being prepared to go in and see the king. I mean, she was a virgin, and all the kids have gone out, so we can talk more freely. What must she have thought? I mean, I'm being prepared for a night with the king. I don't know. It's a funny thing to think of, isn't it? But she had to be wise in the way that she processed, you know, what was happening to her. And because she was wise, as I said, God saved her, and God saved a nation through her as well. And, you know, the wonderful thing is that when God gets hold of our heart, things change. I don't know if you've ever tried to change yourself by trying to make yourself do something when actually you didn't really want to do it. Do you know what I mean? I must do that thing. You know, how many New Year's resolutions did people start on the first day? Right, I'm going to start and I'm going to do this thing. And people get the Lycra on. And I look fabulous in Lycra. And they start running. And then after, well, January the 3rd, the Lycra gets sold or whatever. You know, if God can get your heart, then those areas of change and those areas of things that we struggle with often get dealt with by the Holy Spirit. But it's so difficult when it's the other way around, when we're trying to change things and do things in our own strength and our heart isn't in it. And I've seen in my life, and I've seen in other people's lives, that when we try to strive to do something and our heart isn't in it, it's a recipe for disaster and failure, actually. But when we give our lives in total surrender and dedication to God, and we say, God, my heart is in this for you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want you to govern my direction, where I want to go. What you say, I'm going to do. It's much easier that way round than trying to force yourself to do something because you know it's right, but your heart's not in it. And I'm really praying for us as a church that our, and for me, that our hearts will be so captivated by God that all of the messiness that is often going on in our lives, that just gets burnt up. Not because we're trying to do it in our own strength, but because we're just so consumed by him and his love for us that we don't strive to do it. Do you understand what I mean? That it's much, much easier that way round than trying to force ourselves to try and do something. So it takes wisdom to know when and how to deal with things. Do you have wisdom? What does the Bible say? It says, if you lack wisdom, ask for it. Ask for it. If any man lacks wisdom, let God ask. And God who gives men liberally and does not scold you for asking. Okay, so wisdom. And lastly, courage. Mordecai and Esther both demonstrated amazing courage. Esther demonstrated courage because she went through the process of becoming queen. She remained maintaining her heritage and her dignity. And the last few verses of chapter 2, it shows that Mordecai and Esther both demonstrated courage by exposing a plot that the two men had that were trying to assassinate or going to assassinate the king. You know, it takes courage to do something that you're afraid to do. And there's a difference between courage and bravery. Bravery is often when you do something in response to something that's happened. So like jumping into the sea to rescue somebody. That's an act of bravery. But courage is something different. Courage is often something that we do. It's making a decision to do something that is right. And sometimes, in many of those decisions, it's facing the fears. So we're challenging the fears, and we're challenging things that maybe we don't want to do. That's what courage is. You know, I don't want to do that thing, I'm scared to do it, but nevertheless, I know it's the right thing to do, and therefore, I'm going to do it. And whether my boss likes it, or whether this person likes it, I'm going to do it, because this is what God has called me to do. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to give in. That's courage. And that's what God's called us to be. People of courage. People with some strength and some backbone. It takes courage to stand up to someone who has the ability to hurt you. It takes courage to live the Christian life. It takes courage to share the gospel with people. It takes courage to express your convictions with other people. But nevertheless, do it. Be courageous. Because that's who God has called you to be. Don't hold back. I'm not saying be a religious lunatic and a religious nutter, but I'm saying be authentic, be real, be bold. Reach out to people. Share the love of God with people. Share the passion that you have for God. And if you don't have a passion, fire yourself up. Get into the Word of God. Get so consumed and captivated with God's love for you and what He says about you and how you've been changed and what God's ongoing purpose and plan is for your life, which is so incredible that we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. You know, we were once going to hell, but now we're going to heaven. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. It's the gospel. Do you know that you guys are special? And that you've been called to live in a generation right now where, yes, things are changing, where even things that were not acceptable 10 years ago are acceptable now. It's changing all the time. The world is changing. Society is changing. But praise God, you have been called to live in this generation right now at this time. Is that exciting? I think it is exciting. Yeah, it is. It is. Things are changing around us, but the church needs to consistently and without apology demonstrate the life and the message of the gospel. It's the gospel. The gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. You know, I keep saying about, you know, when we did the Christianity Explored, but it says that the gospel is the greatest news, and it's such great news that it causes strangers. It's the type of news that causes strangers to hug in the street. The same news of, you know, war has ended. Thank goodness. Hugging in the street, kissing, celebrate, even the English dancing. That is the level of the extent of the news of the gospel. That people can be changed and transformed, that their sins can be forgiven, that guilt and shame can be washed away, that they can have a relationship with God, that they can have a hope, they can have a clean conscience before God, and it's nothing that they've done. It's all because of His grace and His goodness. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. It's the gospel. It's what we should be and need to be encouraging one another to be passionate about and live differently because of it. Do you know that we've been called to make a difference? Live in a world in such a way that Jesus can see you, or people can see Jesus in you through your actions and your words. Guys, let's not settle for convenience and a comfortable life. The Bible says that the gospel has the power to turn the world upside down. Wow! I mean, that's what the disciples were accused of, wasn't it? You are dangerous people. You could turn the world upside down. Ah! Wow! That's the message and the power of the gospel. I'm going to wrap up. And I am going to wrap up now. We can't settle for a life without challenge or cost. And forget that we're here to go for God, to actively pursue Him, and actively pursue the kingdom. And you know, if we settle for a lifestyle without passion for God, then He's going to be unable to use us in a way that He really desires. And you know, we miss out on the blessing. Because yeah, we're existing, we're getting through, we're coming to church. But you know, there's so much more that God has for each and every one of us. And, you know, I think it's disappointing for God if we as His children refuse to be used by Him. Let's live passionately. Let's live expectantly. You know, I was reading in Leviticus. That's a very exciting book. Karen, I think. And it talks about the sacrifices, and it talks about what the priests have to do and the animals and the way that they have to be killed. But time and time and time again, it says, and deny yourself. And deny yourself. And I thought, wow, because it's a reoccurring theme that's in the Old Testament, but then it's something that is also we see Jesus teaching, and it's a teaching of the New Testament. You know, take up your cross, deny yourself, deny yourself. And you know, we're called to live differently, aren't we? We are. We're called to live differently and to live lives that are different to the people around us. And if we're just living the same as everybody else, then let's change it, because God doesn't condemn. I don't condemn. Nobody's condemning you, but God and the whole host of heaven and like the whole of all the witnesses, they say, yes, come on. Let's go for it. While we've got breath in our bodies and we're here upon this earth, and it might only be just for 70, 80, 90 years, but let's go for him. Let's not live a mediocre life where we're just scraping through. Let's live passionately. Let's live lives that draw attention, not to us. Forget us. We're nothing. Let's live lives that draw attention to him. You know, that people will see our good works, but they will what? Glorify our Father in heaven. I love that verse. I love that verse. I love it. That people will see us and glorify, see our good works and glorify him, because we don't want it to be about us. So guys, do you have what it takes to be used by God? Do you have what it takes for him to bless you in the way that he wants you? Are you a person of love, wisdom, and of courage? The secret to leading a life that is exciting and fruitful, I think, is about relationship with God. And I'll just finish with this. So often, you know, we worry about, you know, what's God calling me to do? What's God's will and purpose for my life? God, I'm here. What do you want me to do? But you know, I think those questions are the wrong questions to ask, actually. I think that as we get passionate for him, as we get into relationship with him, as we get our priorities sorted out, and we're just living for his kingdom and for what he wants, then God's job is to put you where he wants you to serve in whatever capacity or whatever position that is. Our responsibility is to remain in a intimate relationship with God. You know, and as we're in that intimate relationship with him, that's when he's going to speak. That's when he's going to lead you. That's when he's going to promote you. That's where he might say, you're going to be promoted today to clean the toilets. Woohoo! Well, that's, you're going to be promoted now to go and share the gospel with the people at work, or you're going to be promoted today to go and serve the coffee, or whatever it is. Wow! I get a part to play in extending the kingdom. So it's relationship. So I just want you to think about those thoughts. Are you living passionately for God? Have you lost your passion for God? Is it something that you've never even thought about? But God's called every single one of you here with different gifts and different talents, different abilities, different makeups, different personalities. But, you know, there's something that every single one of us has here. You've been saved, if you're a Christian. You've been saved. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're not being filled with the Holy Spirit, then we really encourage you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Get prayed for. Be intimate with God. Press into God. Let his love transform you rather than you trying to transform yourself by your own ability and your own strength. It doesn't work. Let God wash over you. Let God change you. Let God transform you. Let God do the thing in you that maybe you've been trying for years and haven't been able to break through.